Well, March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. It's the third most common form of cancer in the United States. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning with Dr. Chad McCants of the Cass County Memorial Hospital, who is joining us here today. And, Doctor, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about colorectal cancer, because it's really something most folks don't want to talk about.
Yeah, colorectal cancer is one of those subjects that people would just as soon not think about, but it is something that unfortunately we have to think about. Colorectal cancer is one of those cancers that doesn't have a lot of preemptive warning. That's the real problem with it. It presents at a site that's difficult to access. You can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't touch it. So it's difficult to identify in an early stage.
But it's important to get the early screenings, and that's really the key for this, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Unfortunately, with colorectal cancer, you mentioned that it's the third most common cancer detected in the United States, but it's also the second most common cause of death from cancer in the United States. It's behind lung cancer and breast cancer in women and lung cancer and prostate cancer in men, but when you mix both sexes, it's the number two cause of death from cancer in the United States because, unfortunately, it's frequently not detected in an early stage.
Is there a point in time, are there signs, things we should look for when we should maybe do these types of screenings?
There's a couple of ways to go about it. First of all, as I mentioned, detecting colon cancer based on symptoms is really not very satisfactory. The symptoms that you want to look out for are things like blood in the stool, changes in your bowel habits, that is constipation alternating with diarrhea, or pencil-thin stools, or things like that. Abdominal pain, of course, is pretty vague, but occasionally helpful. But unfortunately, those symptoms frequently come late. So the only way to really detect cancer reliably in an early stage is to do some form of screening. And there are several different ways to go about screening for colon cancer, one of which is the typical fecal occult blood test, the stool test that we are able to do in the primary care doctor's office, where they check your stool for blood. But obviously that only detects it when the cancer is bleeding, so it's not 100% successful, and it can detect a lot of other things. The next stage would be possibly doing some kind of visualization with a barium enema or the virtual colonoscopy done with CT scan, or the most common and probably the gold standard for detecting colon cancer is a colonoscopy. Colonoscopy is a surgical procedure requiring that we actually put a camera inside your colon to look at things. The upside to the colonoscopy is that not only can we detect these cancers in an early stage, we can actually detect them before they become cancers and remove them at the time of your colonoscopy before they become cancerous.
Well, and I noticed some statistical numbers here, too, that the death rate actually has kind of been dropping a little bit from colorectal cancer. Is that because people are more aware of the early screenings and tests?
I'm sure that's a large part of it. We're also getting better at it. We have a lot better equipment. That's one of the major advantages advances in the colonoscopy equipment is the ability to visualize polyps that are smaller. We have better optics, so we can see more at a wider angle. Instead of being able to see it maybe 45 degrees, we can see it almost 90 degrees now.
Doctor, I know a lot of folks probably cringe just a little bit over their breakfast cereal when they heard you mention like colonoscopy, for example. For folks who haven't done that but have heard stories, is it a difficult test? Is it time-consuming? Is there a lot of bounce-back time, a lot of recuperation time after something like that?
No, there really isn't. It does take time out of your schedule. There's no getting around that. You have to do a bowel prep the day beforehand. That's what everybody has heard the worst about and is the most concerned about, because it isn't a lot of fun. You have to take this medicine that gives you loose stools to clean your colon out in order for a person like me to adequately visualize what we're seeing in there. But when you actually go to have the procedure done, we have here at Cass County Hospital one of the best setups in the area, where we have a nurse anesthetist provide anesthesia for each patient when we go in there. So the person who's having the procedure will get an IV started in the pre-op area. They'll go to sleep during the procedure, and they will not remember anything about the procedure afterwards. It's almost a guarantee. I used to be able to just say, you probably won't know anything about it, but with the way we do it here, it's nearly a guarantee you won't remember the procedure itself. afterwards, you wake up, you go back to the recovery room. With the anesthesia that we're able to give you here, it's fairly short acting, so within a few hours, you're going to feel pretty good. We still recommend you don't do anything important for the rest of that day because of the fact that it may affect your judgment somewhat. But the next day, you should be able to go back to doing anything that you could do beforehand.
We've heard many times over the years that age 50 is kind of the mark point there where we should start thinking about getting those types of tests. Is that pretty common?
50 is the cutoff that we use for beginning screening for most cases. It's based on statistics. Age is the most common, it's the strongest risk factor for developing colon cancer because most colon cancers do occur after age 50. However, that's not the only time that you need to get a screening. We do find cancers in younger people occasionally, and so we recommend that any time you have any of those symptoms, you present to your doctor, and then we're able to determine or to discuss with you at that time whether or not you should be a person who would require a screening at that time. Also, family history of colorectal cancer is a big indicator. We recommend anybody who's had a first-degree relative, that means your mother, father, sister, or brother, who has had a colorectal cancer at an early age, get a screening 5 years before the detection of that cancer. So if your father had a colorectal cancer at age 40, we would recommend you get a screening colonoscopy at age 35.
Well, those are some things that we really can't control much, age, histories, things like that. We can't control those risk factors. But are there things we can control to avoid this?
Yeah, sure there are. We all know that genetics is one of the most common risk factors. Environmental conditions are also present. We don't know what all of those environmental conditions are. We do know some things that are definitely contributory to colorectal cancer. One is a low-fiber diet. So we recommend that a person take a high-fiber diet, fiber supplementation, but actually fresh fruits and vegetables are probably the best way of getting that fiber if you can eat enough of it. Unfortunately, most of us don't get enough fiber in our diets. We strongly recommend that you do that. A diet low in red meats is also good. Foods that's prepared at too high of a temperature also is an increased risk. We know that certain carcinogens are found in charred meats and things like that. So avoiding those kind of issues in our diet. Exercise is probably one of the most important ways to prevent colorectal cancer. There's been a study done a couple years ago that showed that a person who exercises 3 to 4 times a week has a markedly significant decrease in the risk of colorectal cancer. And also, some studies have indicated that it's possible that some antioxidants like vitamin C supplementation might help.
Well, some of these things that you talk about, these risk factors like lack of exercise, being a little bit overweight, smoking, alcohol, use things like that, it sounds like we could help ourselves in a lot of different ways if we eliminate some of those things.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. I didn't mention in my initial talk there about the smoking and alcohol cessation. Smoking is one of the biggest risk factors for just about any type of cancer you want to talk about. So it is something that makes a huge difference in your risk factors. Alcohol is also strongly associated with certain types of cancers. Colorectal cancer is a little weaker than like stomach or liver cancer, but certainly is a problem. And many of the other dietary things that I mentioned are definitely things that we can do to help ourselves and reduce our risks.
You bet. Just living a healthier lifestyle would be a good start, and it's never too soon to start doing that.
That's for sure.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, and if we notice any of those types of symptoms, we should get to our doctor and ask questions right away?
Right. The thing about this is, like I frequently tell my patients, it's not the patient's job to know whether something's worrisome to them or not. They should, if there's any questions at all, that's what we're here for. Give us a call. You can come in and see me in my office at any time at Southwest Iowa Surgery. Just call and chat with my nurses, and they'll be happy to make an appointment with you. Or even better, see your family practice doctor if there's any questions. That way we can determine whether these things that are worrisome to you are something that you need to be worried about.
Very good. Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month here during the month of March, and something you should very definitely take a little bit of time to inform yourself a little bit more about. Dr. Chad McCants, thanks a lot for your time this morning. Continued success to you.
Thank you.